When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the final edition of the NFL season of Drive to Survivor on the Hammer.bet. Reminder to smash like and sub to the Hammer HQ and Forward Progress channel on YouTube and to check out the Hammer.bet for all your sports betting needs. Rob Pizzola, Cam Stewart, it's been a year. It's only been 4 days, but it's been a year.
It's been a year. It's been, this show is, we've been defeated many times. I'm kind of glad this might be the last week that we're picking just a winner to root for.
There can't be anybody left in the Survivor, or you, like, it's two people. Like, you've won your Survivor, right? Like,
so I know of a bunch of pools that are still going on right now.
Wow. Yeah. Without buy-ins?
Without rebuys. Yeah.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
Got to give them credit.
You really do. Honestly, it's been at one of those years, as we can attest to, where a lot of the favorites just haven't got the job done, but there are people alive somehow.
I'm going to make this one short and sweet.
Oh, all right.
Tampa Falcons.
You know what?
Frank Falcon.
I was actually going to recommend the Falcons. Listen, well, again.
As you know, I know I play this game wrong. Like, I rank backup quarterbacks wrong. That's what I do. I'm not taking a double digit. Like, I'm taking the 49ers. I know I can do that in this game, but I like to do it with people that are alive. And know what? You might actually have the Falcons in a pool.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking as well. Like, I think that, you know, obviously if you had the 49ers or whoever else is the Eagles, which you probably don't, you would take them. Then if you go down to the next tier of favorites, I like Cincinnati to win, but I doubt people have Cincinnati remaining against Baltimore. So if you go down to like the teams that are in the 3-5 point favorite range, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, what's the incentive for Tampa Bay here?
Tampa Bay can barely win on a good week with all their players.
Exactly. Playing. They should have lost to Carolina, Pat. We're all on them. The fact they covered that spread is disgusting in itself. Atlanta, Frankie Falcon, our old friend.
Fortunately, for anyone last week who was betting Carolina with that weird field goal, which was the smart move to do, cover the teaser if you had Carolina as a teaser leg. So shout out to Steve Wilkes for that one.
I agree. That's a good call, Pat. Did we win last week? Who did we take? I think we won again.
I think we won. I know we won because nobody tweeted at me that we lost.
I think we just kind of went with it and it won. It was, who was it? Is somebody documenting this stuff?
Yeah, I usually do, but you really only could have lost last week. There weren't many teams you could have lost with last week.
Okay. Anyway, I think this week we were doing actually like people a service. Like, if you're there, the Falcons, if you don't use, it seems like a logical choice.
We took the Giants last week. Your boy Daniel Jones against Nick Foles.
Oh, and no, and they annihilated them.
That was maybe our best.
What was Daniel Jones' line in that game? I think he rushed for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there he goes.
Maybe he gets a point. Still running. You know what? If he plays the Colts every week, you might be right.
Yeah. He might put up some top 10 numbers against him. I almost pray now
that Daniel Jones next year just gets better and better and better, and then you guys can finally give me the Barry Horowitz.
Well, maybe so. I mean, there is a scenario. I was looking at the NFC odds right now. The Giants are 30-1 to win the NFC in the playoffs. Like, there is a weird scenario where they play Minnesota in the first round. I mean, we just watched that game. The Giants could have beat Minnesota. I don't want to say easily because they didn't win, but that's what, a 55-45? That's a coin flip game, basically.
Yep.
And then if they win, they probably play the Eagles, who've already beat them twice. And you know how that works out for teams that beat you twice in a year. You never win the third game. So now all of a sudden the Giants are the NFC championship game to get throttled by San Francisco, probably. But there's like a weird path for them to maybe not have the most difficult time in the NFC playoffs if they play all right.
It's true. I can actually see the Giants, as sick as it sounds, making a run especially because of the matchup against Minnesota in the first round.
It's like, I like Baltimore if Lamar comes back and he's healthy. The problem is they'll have to beat the Bills, Chiefs, and Bengals back to back to back weeks. Like, they're just too tough.
Lamar's not coming back, Pat. I think this is a ploy to get more money. He bet on himself, and there's going to be a lot of problems in Baltimore moving forward. This guy did a smart thing. He's going to get paid by somebody else. Can I make a prediction?
Sure.
And Gabe and I talked about on our show, I think the New York Jets and Lamar Jackson seem to be
We talked to Cust about that, and Cust is all in. Even if you have to give up Sauce Gardner in the trade, you do it.
We can't. No, there's no need to get rid of Sauce Gardner. No. Why don't we just make this work? Keep Sauce on the team and just find a way to get Jackson. You don't have to give Sauce Gardner up.
The New York Jets will be running a two-quarterback system next year of Sam Darnold and Geno Smith.
That would be amazing. Amazing.
Imagine they bring back the guys that they rode out of town and they bring them back in to run a 2QB system and they suck again. Man, I would love that for the Jets franchise. I love rooting against the Jets, particularly Cust.
It's pretty fun, right?
I got to be honest with you. I don't find it fun at all. I even though the Bills are the team I cheer for or whatever, like, I don't hate the Jets. It's Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but like there's a team that you like to hate on, right? And it's the Patriots. I'm more inclined, like, I like the Bills because, you know, a lot of my friends like the Bills.
Yeah, me too.
I like to root for Miami because Mike McDaniel looks like me.
It's honest. True.
I
get a tan, Rob. Like, honest to God, like, you got to get a tan and then like figure it out, because once you get that guy's skin tone, like, you guys could be, it's doppelganger time.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can, like, turn this into serious money, and I haven't figured it out yet.
You're a pretty smart guy. I thought you'd have, like, 5 plans by now. You got to figure it out.
Like, if I could just get McDaniel's email address and just shoot him a thing and be like, I don't even
Get information, take a picture of yourself, go hit a tanning bed for a while, say, mm-hmm. Hey. How you doing? And you do football. I don't know, Rob. You got
to
do something.
Like, he probably doesn't want to do the pressers that he has to do. I can step in for him on those.
Actually, right? He has been getting more surly at the end of the year. Remember at the start, he was all witty. Hey, everybody.
Well, he made some jokes this past week.
And now he's like, yes, this football team, we have a lot of injuries. Like, the season has beat him down emotionally.
Well,
like,
he did make some jokes.
You guys beat me down with the quarterback comments. Yeah.
Somebody asked him about signing Mike Glennon, and he made a joke, and the Miami media has not received it too well. It's like, oh, you want a joke at the pressers when you're going to miss
Mike
the playoffs?
Mike Glennon
now?
Now we can talk about guys that are absolute stiffs. Mike Glennon is the worst of the worst.
Mike Glennon is horrible.
That guy, are we going to agree? Pat, Matt, where do you write? Mike Glennon is, oh, God. Hey, he's awful.
Hey, on our Best Bet show, we did talk about some of the best short yardage QBs of all time. I think between Mike Glennon and Davis Mills, you got that neck. You're probably pretty good to go.
You know who is actually a great short yardage QB that it comes down to? Not short yardage, goal line QB was Drew Brees.
I agree with that.
You remember Drew Brees' jump and reach the ball across and nobody could figure out what to do there? That was nobody does that. They all protect the ball now. You got to protect. It's like just do what Drew Brees did and you score a touchdown 95% of the time. Like, what, everyone's protecting the ball. Anyways.
Well, we'll put it this way. It's no different than having like the quote unquote goal line back. It's like, oh, you need your Brandon Jacobs, Lendale Whites to run the ball in because they're so big. I mean, the best goal line back I can ever remember is LaDainian Tomlinson, who would just be little, crouch down, run into a pile and pop out the other side.
Even Darren Sproles could do it too, like a lot of the time, like Geoff's buddy. Yeah, no, it's not just about size. You just got to find holes, right? Be shifty and leverage. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm with you. But I will say Mike Glennon, in my opinion, is one of the worst quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah. Auto fade. You know, there's like guys that they start and you just can't click the button quick enough.
Yeah.
That's Mike Glennon.
Agreed. Remember that game, Rob? I forget what it was. Like, he was in there. And I think they start pick six. Like, it was like 21-0. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's bad.
Nathan Peterman is in that
actually
category,
you know what, and he's starting this week for the Bears. That is an issue.
As soon as that happened, as soon as I got a whiff that Fields might not play in the game, it was, I can't bet Minnesota quick enough here. That's
thing that I don't understand, guys. Peterman's like a third stringer or barely like in the league, in my opinion. The fact that he's a backup quarterback, see, I have an issue with that.
Well, I mean we watched Nick Foles play like a back to back,
but Nick Foles is basically essentially a third or fourth stringer because it goes with Ellinger and Ryan and Foles is three or four. He's but not
what,
two.
What I'm saying is, like, how is the guy even in the league? At the, like, I guess maybe he can impart some wisdom on a younger quarterback like Ellinger, but like Foles is like, oh, my God.
Blows. Yeah,
like, he's throwing off his back foot like he's YOLOing into double players coverage like all the time.
He's like, a religious guy. I think they like he's good in the team prayers and
maybe.
Stuff
like That's
that.
Fair enough. Yeah. There's other factors about other than just the pure quarterback play.
I hadn't considered that part of it. Yeah, I mean, you need someone to be a good prayer guy for the team circle.
Yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, he's like a deacon in there. You know what I mean? You go to service with mass with Nick Foles and just watch him run around with a wooden leg and throw a pick.
So out of curiosity, though, why do you think the Colts would pay a quarterback like $1 million to run their prayer service when they could just pay like a deacon or a priest, probably a lot less than that to run the prayer service?
Well, because as a third stringer, he might actually have to get into the game and he's still on the roster. The priest is not able to play football on the side, even though Nick Foles doesn't really play football. He's still there.
I mean, the priest might have just as good a chance of leading the team to a win as Nick Foles does.
All right, that will do it.
Are we done?
Yeah, we can go to Atlanta. We got this.
One quick question. Have you ever gone to a confessional? I'm not Catholic. I've always wanted to do it just to see the experience.
I am Catholic.
I want the guy to whisper to me about stuff and tell me, like, you know, what I'm doing wrong.
Well, it's not really like that at all. They just listen. They don't really like. It's not like
you just
see
spill your guts. So if you're like a bad guy, it's like, hey, you know,
you say, I hit this guy
over the head with a baseball bat, and I really regret it now. Like, okay,
and then they'll
basically
like, okay, go say five Hail Marys, and we'll absolve you.
That's what I love about it. So you can basically like just put a knife in a guy, and then in confessional, everything's cool. Like you don't have to worry about anything anymore.
I don't know what the laws are on like there's certain professions right where they have to keep stuff secret.
Yes.
Regardless of the situation.
I would say murder, though, they'd have to go to the cops.
I don't know what it is, but like, yeah, I would be careful of what I would tell the, like, if I murdered somebody, I mean, unless I was so torn up that I needed like him, you know, to absolve me of the sins.
Yeah.
I would probably be careful about confessing to murder at a confession.
I agree. You can confess to like, you know, petty theft, stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. I switched some tick prices around at the grocery store so I could get cheaper meat or whatever.
That's another misconception.
But you did it at some point in life and you would want the Lord to absolve you.
I will say sins. I have switched stickers on meats before.
That's all I'm saying, right? Because you say like, you know, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It has been 15 years since my last confession. It'll be like, all right, tell me what's gone on in these 15 years. And you just spill your guts and he'd be like, okay, you know, he does like a little prayer and he say, go say five Hail Marys and five Our Fathers and whatever the penance is. And you just move on with life. But
personally, I'm not going to make a comment. I think that's ridiculous, but anyway,
Yeah.
So basically you do whatever the hell you want. That's negative and everything's going to be cool if you just talk about it.
Yes. Yeah, that's how that works.
The Lord will forgive you for your sins.
You should be down with the Lord, pal. The Lord will help you out.
Yeah, I haven't been to church in a while. I usually go once a year with my mom. She drags me out, but I want to watch the Hawaii Bowl. Please, Cameron, can I just get one time we go to church together? She didn't go this year because she's not doing too good. But yeah, that's usually my thing is, yeah, I'll give up the Hawaii Bowl. Many a sad Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve, Rob. A lot of money, too much money on that game. Get really dangerous. Might have to go to confessional.
I was watching my boy, Tiny Hands Kenny Pickett, come back from behind on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Smaller hands than Jared Goff, if you believe it.
Yeah, well, tiny hands are playing pretty damn good football right now.
They were concerned about that cold weather in Pittsburgh. How is Tiny Hands going to hold the ball?
To be honest with you, I don't see Pickett fumble a lot. Those tiny hands, maybe he's just got a strong grip. Tiny hands, strong grip.
Yeah, it's possible. Yep.
All right, that will do it. On the season finale of Drive to Survivor, presented by TheHammer.bet. For Rob, for Cam, I'm Pat Mayo. Smash a like on the way out, all right? We'll see you next year.